الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, continue reading from that great book and treatise, كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد, by the great Imam and the great scholar, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. We have been reading from Babu Man Haqqaqa At-Tawheed Dakhala Al-Jannata Bighayri Hisab, from the chapter, the one who fulfills the rites of Tawheed, then he went to paradise without any reckoning. Bighayri Hisab, ay wala adab, without any reckoning, likewise without any punishment. The author, he mentioned two verses from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then a narration. We began the reading from the narration this morning, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبِعَوْنِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. The author, he mentioned, عَنْ حُسَيْن ابن عبد الرحمن قَالَ كُنْتُ عِنْدَ سَعِيدِ بِنِ جُبَيْرِ فَقَالَ أَيُّكُمْ رَأَى الْكَوْكَبَ الَّذِي انْقَضَّ الْبَارِحَةِ فَقُلْتُ أَنَا ثُمَّ قُلْتُ أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ فِي صَلَاةٍ وَلَكِنِّي لُدِغْتُ قَالَ فَمَاذَا صَنَعْتَ قلت استرقيت قال فما حملك على ذلك قلت حديث حدثناه الشعبي فقال ما حدثكم الشعبي قلت حدثنا عن بريدة بن الحسيب الأسلامي أنه قال لا رقية إلا من عين أو حمى فقال قد أحسن من انتهى إلى ما سمع ولكن حدثنا ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال عرضت علي الأمم فرأيت النبي ومعه رهد والنبي ومعه رجل والرجلان والنبي وليس معه أحد إذ رفع لي سواد عظيم فظننت أنهم أمتي فقيل لي هذا موسى وقومه ولكن انظر إلى الأفق فنظرت فإذا سواد عظيم فقيل لي انظر إلى الأفق الآخر فإذا سواد عظيم فقيل لي هذه أمتك ومعهم 70,000 يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب ثم نهض فدخل منزله فخاض الناس في أولئك الذين يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب فقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين ولدوا في الإسلام ولم يشركوا بالله وذكروا أشياء فخرج عليهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما الذي تخوضون فيه فاخبروه فقال هم الذين لا يرقون ولا يسترقون ولا يتطيرون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون هم الذين لا يكتوون ولا يسترقون ولا يتطيرون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون فقام عكاشة بن محصن فقالوا ادعوا الله أن يجعلني منهم فقال أنت منهم ثم قام رجل آخر فقالوا ادعوا الله أن يجعلني منهم فقال سبقك بها عكاشة سبقك بها عكاشة. The author, he mentioned the narration from Hussein ibn Abd al-Rahman rahimahullah ta'ala, one of those great tabi'een, scholars of hadith. He died in the year 137, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Ahmad mentioned that he was thiqan, kana ma'munan fi riwaya wa min kibari ashabi al-hadith, that he was from the great scholars of hadith, Hussein ibn Abd al-Rahman. He mentioned, he says, that I was with Sa'id ibn Jubair, that great scholar from the tabi'in likewise. He died in the year 95. Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullah ta'ala. Kuntu 'inda Sa'id ibn Jubair, faqala ayyukum ra'a al-kawkab alladhi inqadha al-bariha. He said, which of you saw the star that fell last night? And the shooting star. Al-bariha. Last night. The ulama, they mention al-bariha, that it means the night before. But they use this after Dhuhr, after the Dhuhr time. If something occurred before Dhuhr, they will say the night before, Al-Layla, Hadhihi Al-Layla. But here he said Al-Bariha, meaning the night before, meaning that this gathering here from the Tabi'een occurred after Dhuhr, after Asr. This gathering here did not occur after Fajr. Rather, it occurred after Dhuhr, after Asr. Al-Bariha, from Baraha, Bimana Zala. So if the sun has come to the zenith, meaning has been Fajr, after the Fajr time, whenever the zenith comes at the Dhuhr time, from Dhuhr until Asr and after Asr until Maghrib, someone would say Al-Bariha, Hasala Shay'un Al-Bariha, something occurred Al-Bariha, meaning the night before. The night before. If it had occurred before Dhuhr, they would say Hadhihi Al-Layla, Hadhihi Al-Layla. This is from the way of the Salaf and their understanding. As for in our days, maybe someone would say Al-Bariha and it could be any time yesterday. And in the uses that the people use today. But here we see benefiting from that, that this gathering between these great scholars of hadith from the Tabi'een, it occurred after Dhuhr or after Asr. He said, فَقُلْتُ أَنَا ثُمَّ قُلْتُ أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ فِي صَلَاتٍ لَكِنِّي لُدِغْتُ وَلَكِنِّي لُدِغْتُ. He said, Hussein, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, I saw the shooting star last night, but as for me, I was not in Salat, but I was stung, meaning by a scorpion, meaning by a scorpion. So we see here that he mentioned that he was awake, that he saw the falling star, and he seen that in the sky. But then he freed himself from having someone think about him, that maybe he was doing something he was not doing. The reason that he was awake was because he was stung by a scorpion. So in the time of the Tabi'een and the likes like them, the one who was found up at nighttime, generally it would be thought about him that he was in the night prayer. So he wanted to make sure that no one in the gathering would think that about him, that someone would think about him something that he did not do, even though it is something that is praiseworthy. But one of them will be afraid that they will be praised for something they are not doing. And this is something that the hypocrites, they would like. يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُحْمَدُوا. They like to be praised for things they did not do. But as for the Salaf and those righteous predecessors, then they would free themselves from that. They will free themselves from that. This is indication of their sincerity. So he says, أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ أَكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةٍ لَكِنِّي لَوْ دِغْتُ. He said, as for me, I was not in Salat. I was up last night and I saw that shooting star. But I was not praying. I was not praying. The reason why I was awake is because I was stung. I was stung by an aqrab. It's been mentioned in another narration, it was an aqrab, which is a scorpion. So he said, قَالَ فَمَاذَا صَنَعْتَ. So here we have Sa'id, he's asking him, asking Hussein, what did you do? You were up last night and you were stung by a scorpion. What did you do? قُلْتُ إِسْتَرْقَيْتُ. In one narration, it says raqaytu or raqitu, raqa yarqi, raqitu irtaqaytu. In this narration, also likewise irtaqaytu. Some of the narrations they mean that I made ruqya, but that narration, the ulama they mentioned, is not correct. And the correct narration is this wording here is istarqaytu, that I sought the ruqya, that I sought the ruqya. So he says here he was stung. Sa'id, rahimahullah ta'ala, asked him, what did he do? He said, I asked someone to give me ruqya. I asked someone to give me ruqya. قَالَ فَمَا حَمَلَكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said, why did you do that for? يعني ما دليلك على هذا. What is your evidence for this? And he's asking him why he sought for a ruqya. And what is the proof? قُلْتُ حَدِيثٌ حَدَّثَنَاهُ الشَّعْبِي. So there's a narration that Ash-Sha'bi, he had narrated to us. Ash-Sha'bi likewise from those great Tabi'een. He died in the year 104. It's been mentioned about Ash-Sha'bi, Amr ibn Sharahil, that he was from the first of those to check the narrators, and from the first of those to criticize the people and their narration, and to make sure that the narrations had an authentic chain, from the first of those to ask about the chain, him. Sha'bi, rahimahullah, and Ibn Sirin. So this is a gathering from the great Tabi'een, and they're narrating on their mashayikh, the narrations that they heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam discussing knowledge. And this is indication that the scholars previously from those great generations, they would gather And they would sit and they would discuss knowledge. And here we see here, Sa'id, he asked him, Rahimahullah, ma hamalaka ala dhalika? And he, what is your evidence for you? What did you seek a ruqya for? And he's seeing if he had a proof for that. So he mentioned, Na'am, hadithun hadathanahu sha'bi. Hussein, he said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, there's a narration of sha'bi, he narrated to us. فَقَالَ مَا حَدَّثَكُمْ شَعْبِي So Sa'id, he asked him, what did he narrate to you? What is this narration that he narrated to you? قُلْتُ حَدَّثَنَا عَنْ بُرَيْدَ Ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami He said that Burayda ibn al-Husayb, that great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated to us. Burayda, he died in the year 62. He was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He witnessed the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of them. After Badr, it's been mentioned whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's making hijrah, he passed by Burayda and his tribe, and he accepted Islam at this time. He accepted Islam in this time, and Islam was good from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Burayda narrated to them, أنه قال لا رقية إلا من عين أو هما. He said that Burayda told them that there is no ruqya. There's no ruqya except for from the evil eye or from a sting. فَقَالَ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ انْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعَ So Sa'id, he told him at this time, he said that verily the one who stops at what he has heard, and he applies the knowledge that he knows, then he has done well. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ انْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعَ This is the gathering of Hussein ibn Abd al-Rahman, the Tabi'i, with Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahumullah ta'ala, discussion that they're having about the great occurrences in the creation. Who saw the shooting star last night? And they're seeing these things that occur in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they ponder over them, realizing the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, gathering and discussing these issues and these affairs. And then one of them, he mentioned, Naam, he saw it. But he also freed himself from blame or having people think about something that was not true about him, ascribing to him, even if it's something good, freeing himself from arriya, from showing off, that he will be praised for something that is not that he did not do. And this is from loving to be seen and loving to be known. And this is from the ways of the hypocrites. So he freed himself from that. And he mentioned that he sought a ruqya, that he was up because he was stung by a scorpion. And then he sought the ruqya. And then he asked him for his proof. He said, why did you do that? This is discussion about knowledge. What is the proof for that? What is the evidence for that? Not to invalidate his stance or what he's doing, but rather to see what caused him to do that. They know that these are people of knowledge. He knows that he's a person of knowledge and he made his action based on knowledge. So he wants to see his evidence. Well, what is the evidence for this? So he mentioned to them the narration that Burayda had narrated to them by way of Sha'bi. لا رقية إلا من عين أرحمة. At this time, Sa'id, he heard this. He heard the narration that he mentioned, the narration that he heard. Hussein, he heard it from Sha'bi, who heard it from Burayda. Well, of course, it came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there is no ruqya except from the evil eye or from a sting. From an evil eye, from a sting. The ayn is from the evil eye. And the huma, this is a sting from any type of animal that stings. From the scorpions, likewise snakes. Whenever they sting or they bite. Or a wasp or a hornet and the likes like this. These animals that have poison and they sting and they bite. And they inject poison. This is called from the huma. Min dhawati sumum. So here in this narration we see that there's no ruqya except for in the evil eye or in a type of a sting. But the ulama, they mentioned that this would either be in the beginning of the revelation and this was later abrogated, or the meaning of this is la ruqyata anfa wa ashfa, that there is no ruqya, meaning that the ruqya is most beneficial. It's most beneficial on the evil eye and likewise on the huma. But it has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used the ruqya for other than that, likewise from different types of ailments and pain. From different types of ailments and pain. So we see that one of the most beneficial cures for the evil eye and for the sting from the animals that sting that have poison is the ruqya. But it's not limited to this. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ انْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعَ And how good is the one who applies the knowledge that he has. That's the meaning of it. That he stopped, he heard. And the one, he hears knowledge. And then he applies that. And he doesn't go beyond that. This one is considered muhsin. This one he has done good. This one he has done good. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ And if he sani'ihi, سَمِيَ الْعِلْمُ وَعْمِلَ بِهِ He heard knowledge and he applied it. So he described him as being a muhsin. And this is the way. Because the one who does not listen to knowledge, لَا يَسْمَعَ الْعِلْمُ وَيَعْمَلْ لَيْسَ بِمُحْسِنِ The one who does not learn, he does not listen and obtain knowledge, he does not gain knowledge, and then he tries to apply or work or worship Allah Azza wa Jalla or do some deeds seeking nearness to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, but he did not learn first. He is not described with ihsan. Rather, this one, it is a musi. He is doing something that is bad and foul, and you will find that his deed will be astray and it will not hit the mark or the target. So for the deed to be described with ihsan and goodness, it has to be based upon knowledge. A person, he has to sit and listen. He has to learn and take knowledge from the proper sources and then apply it. And the one in this manner, he'll be praised for his action of seeking knowledge and for the application. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ إِنْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعَ Likewise, on the other hand, the one who heard knowledge, سَمِيَ الْعِلْمُ وَدَرَّسَ وَتَعَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعِلْمِهِ لَيْسَ بِمُحْسِنِ Likewise, on the other extreme, the one who listens, the one who seeks knowledge, the one who learns, but he does not apply his knowledge, or he goes beyond the boundaries of his knowledge, then this one, he's not described as being muhsin likewise. Rather, he is musi aydan. قَدْ أَسَّأَ فِي صَنِعِهِ He did not do well. Rather, he made a mistake. The one who is described with ihsan, and the understanding of the Salaf is this one here, the one who heard knowledge, the one who learned and then he applied it. The one who learned and then he applied it. Who is the one who made this statement? قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى مَنْ إِنْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعْ Sa'id ibn Jubayr. If we look in his, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his biography, he says here in his biography, this is found in Sirah Lam al-Nubala. He mentioned, قَدْ لَدَغَتْنِي عَقْرَبٌ This is not from the narration here. This is Saeed. Who got stung in this narration that we're listening? Hussein. Huh? Hussein. Hussein got stung. Hussein ibn Abdul Rahman. Naam, so here, this is outside of the book. Huh? This is in the biography of Saeed. The one who's mentioning about this to his companion Hussein. He said, لَدَغَتْنِي أَقْرَبٌ فَأَقْسَمَتْ عَلَيَّ أُمِّي أَنْ أَسْتَرْقِيَ He said that I was stung by a scorpion. And my mother swore by Allah that I was over me, and he made a swear for me that I have to seek ruqya. That I have to seek ruqya. Aqsama alayhi. Aqsamat alayhi. This is whenever somebody he swore by Allah, you're going to do this. He has to fulfill that. That's from the rights. Naam? Ibra al-Qasim. Naam? So he says his mother swore by Allah over him that he will seek a ruqya. That he will seek a ruqya. So what did he do? Rahimahullah. He said, فَأَعْطَيْتُ الرَّاقِي يَدِي فَأَعْطَيْتُ الرَّاقِي يَدِي أَلَّتِي لَمْ تُلْدَقَ وَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُحَنِّثَهَا He got, for example, he got stung. It doesn't mention which hand it is, but so we understand. He says that I was stung by a scorpion and my mother swore over me that I will go seek a ruqya. So I gave the raqi, the one giving the ruqya, my hand that was not stung. I gave the raqi the hand that was not stung because I did not like to cause my mother to invalidate her oath. And if she had invalidated her oath, if he made her invalidate her oath, she would have to expiate that. So he said, I dislike to cause my mother to have a hinth in her oath and to invalidate and go back on her oath. So he fulfilled that. He went and he sought ruqya. But what did he do? He didn't give the hand that had the bite in it. Rather, he gave the other hand. And to avoid applying this narration, to avoid from what he's going to find next, to be from those who seek ruqya. He did not want to be from those who seek ruqya from another. But at the same time, he did not want to yuhannith ummahu. He did not want to cause his to go back on her, on his mother to go back on the oath. So he said, لَدَغَتْنِي أَقْرَبٌ فَأَقْسَمَتْ عَلَيَ أُمِّي أَنْ أَسْتَرْقِيَ فَأَعْطَيْتُ الرَّاقِي يَدِي أَلَّتِي لَمْ تُلْدَغْ وَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُحَنِّثَهَا And he said, I was bitten by a scorpion. I was stung by a scorpion, and my mother and his mother, out of her mercy for him and love for him, she swore by Allah over him that he has to go seek a ruqya. So he didn't want to cause her to invalidate that, or he won't disobey her in that. So he did, and he went and sought a ruqya. But he did not give the raqib the hand that was stung. And so he sought the ruqya, but he didn't do it in the manner that he's going to actually be seeking the ruqya for the sting. And this is the situation that he found himself in. But we see the benefit from this, that these ulama, the tabi'een, they will hasten to apply knowledge. They would hasten to apply knowledge. Not only did he praise this person, his companion Hussein, قَدْ أَحْسَنَ مَنْ إِنْتَهَ إِلَى مَا سَمِعُهُ himself. He himself applied it first. So this is the one that is described with Ihsan. This is the one who is praiseworthy with regards to his knowledge and his action. The one who has knowledge and action. The one who has knowledge and action. This one is praiseworthy. This one who is described with Ihsan. The Muhsin is the one who he seeks knowledge and he learns the regulations of the deen from the creed and from the methodology and from the worship and from the halal and the haram. And then he applies that. In this manner he is doing good. As for the one who is lazy and the one who has no concern for his deen and he turns away from learning the rights of Islam and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the regulations of the deen, and then he worship Allah upon ignorance. This person, he is not described with Ihsan. Whether this person, he is heedless, and this person, he is blameworthy and not praiseworthy. And on the other extreme, the one who listens and he learns, but he does not apply his knowledge, or he does not stop at the limits of the knowledge, whether he goes beyond that. He goes beyond his own knowledge, innovating in the religion, or he doesn't apply his knowledge, and he learns it. All of this likewise is not from the good way and from the proper and praiseworthy path with regards to knowledge and action. Rather, this is blameworthy. So here we see that Sa'id is praising him. He's praising him for what he did. He's not blaming him. He's praising him. قَدْ أَحْسَنْ مَنْ إِنْتَهَى إِلَى مَا سَمِعْ. But now he mentions to him that which is better than that narration, and in the application of that narration. He says, وَلَكِنْ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْنُ عَبَاسٍ رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, but rather, you did well in applying that narration that you heard. That narration meaning that he sought a ruqya. But here he says, but rather Ibn Abbas, he narrated to us. Ibn Abbas, the great companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the nephew, the one that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made dua for. اللهم فقه في الدين وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh Allah, give him fiqh in the deen and teach him the understanding or the tafsir of the Qur'an. It's been narrated, the Ibn Abbas, he narrated more than 1,696 narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, from those seven scholars of hadith, from the companions who narrated more than 1,000 narrations. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, turjuman al-Quran wa habr al-Ummah. He said, Sa'id ibn Jubair, he said, Ibn Abbas narrated to them on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, uridat alay al-Ummah, fara'aytu al-Nabiyya wa ma'ahu rahdu, wa nabiyya wa ma'ahu rajul wa rajulan, wa nabiyya wa laysa ma'ahu ahadun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated in this narration, he said that the nations were presented to me, and he saw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the nations along with their prophets. He said, so I saw a prophet and there would be with him a few people, a rahd. The ulama, they mentioned a rahd is from as a group of people from 3 to 10. Some said from 3 to 9, but in any case, it's a number of people less than 10. Yani meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen the nations, each nation comes with their prophet. He's seen that there were some prophets that came with their nation, their whole nation, meaning those who followed them and those who believed in them and followed them. He's seen a prophet that's only with them 10 people along with him. He said he's seen another prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was only with him one or two followers. And he's seen another prophet and there is no one with him whatsoever. And this is the case. And some of the prophets, they had very few followers. And in reality, the followers of all of the prophets and messengers compared to the rest of the people, they are few. But here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that there are some prophets that have very few followers, less than 10. Other prophets, they only have one or two followers. Another prophet, he'll come and there's not even a follower. Even we know that some of those prophets, they came, and rather not having followers, rather they were killed by their followers. Iyadhan billah. Some of those messengers and prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they were killed by their followers. Now, so from this here, we have a benefit that a person, he would not be deceived by the number or the masses. And he would not say, well, the majority of the people are going this way, and think because there's a majority of the people that they're upon that which is correct. But rather the way of the messengers is that there was only a few of them following them. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned that only a few of my servants are thankful, meaning thankful and believers. And if you strove hard, most of the people would not believe. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned to his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that most of them will not believe it, وَلَوْ حَرَسْتَ, even if you were diligent. So a believer, he will not in this life be deceived by numbers. He will not be deceived by numbers, the numbers of the disbelievers or the numbers of the deviant sects. He will not be deceived by the few that follow the straight path, by the few that are complying to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will not be deceived by the few or feel lonesome from the few that have the proper creed and proper belief, and they become strange because of this. Rather, they will have glad tidings whenever they find this strangeness. They will know that they're on the correct way. وَالنَّبِيَّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٍ So the Prophet ﷺ, and there will be a Prophet, he's seen a Prophet that no one was with him, and no one followed him. This is not because they were falling short in their call or in their knowledge, rather they are messengers and they receive revelation, or prophets and they receive revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some people, they will not respond to the call, or many people, they will not respond to the call. They will not respond to the call. So a person, he will not look at the numbers. Rather, he will look at the quality, not the quantity. And the correctness of the call, and the correctness of the individual, and his actions, and his manners, and his creed, and his conduct. He said, Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِذْ رُفِيَ عَلِي سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُمْ أُمَّتِي فَقِيلَ لِي هَذَا مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ Naam, so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said he's seen a great multitude. He's seen a great multitude, a multitude, and he thought that it was his ummah. And then it was said to him, he said, this is Musa and his people. This is Musa and his people. An indication that the followers of Musa Alayhi Salaam, there are many. That he had many people from the children of Israel that actually followed him and believed in him and his call. And there are many the people of Israel, from the children of Israel who followed Musa alayhi salam. He said, وَلَكَنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ فَقِيلَ لِي أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ الْآخَرِ So then it was said to him, Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look into the horizon, he's seen a great multitude. And then it said to him again, look to the other horizon, he saw another great multitude, Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then he said, it was said to him, فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ فَقِيلَ لِي هَذِي أُمَّتُكَ وَمَعَهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا يَدُخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ And this is the point for mentioning the narration here. He said, it was said to him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look to the other horizon, and he saw another great, great multitude, and many, many, many people, many people. And it was said to him, this is your ummah, and along with them, 70,000. He's seen a great multitude of people. And it was said to him, along with this multitude, there are 70,000 individuals, and they will enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. They will enter paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. At this time, ثُمَّ نَحَبَ فَدَخَرَ مَنْزِلَهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that at this time, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stood up. And he mentioned this. And then he stood up and he went into his house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَخَاضَ النَّاسُ فِي أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ So at this time, the people, they started, and the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started discussing. They started asking each other and talking about any of these people who enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment. فَخَاضَ بَعْضُهُمْ فَلَعَلَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ صَحِبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them, they're making ijtihad. Because here they don't have a proof, or they don't have an evidence. Again, we went from the first case, the gathering of the Tabi'een, sitting around discussing knowledge. Now here we have a gathering of the Sahaba, sitting around together discussing knowledge. يَتَذَكَرُونَ الْعِلْمَ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ This is from the way of the the people of ilm and the people of knowledge, from the way of the believers, from the way of the Muslims, that they gather together and they sit and discuss issues of knowledge. That they gather together and they sit and discuss issues of knowledge from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in this case, and those companions along with him, sitting around in circles, gatherings, discussing knowledge and discussing ilm, al-ilm al-shar'i. He says, so whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the house, and they started discussing amongst themselves, who are they? Who are they? Some of them said, they're the companions, they're the ones who accompanied the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ones who have this virtue. Those 70,000 people from this ummah who went to paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment, some of them said, لَعَلُّهُمُ الَّذِينَ صَحِبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Perhaps they're the ones who accompanied the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ فَلَعَلُّهُمُ الَّذِينَ وُلِدُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. And others, they said, well, possibly they are the ones who were born in Islam. وَلَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And they did not associate partners with Allah whatsoever. And this is a possibility. Some of them said possibly the ones that accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others said no, they're the ones who were born in Islam and they never committed shirk ever in their life. And he making suggestions, ijtihadat, from themselves, discussing amongst themselves. يتذكرون العلم. He said وذكروا أشياء, and they mentioned different points. فخرج عليهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما الذي يتخذون فيه. So the messenger, he came out amongst them sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, what are you discussing? What are you discussing about? فَأَخْبَرُوهُ. So they informed him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَكْتَوُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. لَا يَكْتَوُونَ, لَا يَكْتَوُونَ, يعني لَا يَفْعَلُونَ الْكَيْ وَيَتْلُبُونَ الْكَيْ. يَكْتَوُونَ, الْإِكْتِوَاء is to seek the كَيْ. Now he says they are the ones who do not, لَا يَكْتَوُونَ, لَا يَتْلُبُونَ الْكَيْ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. And كَيْ is a type of ilaj and a type of cure, where they use fire. They use fire on iron and they touch it on the body part. And the ones who know, they know the special places to do that. But it involves burning with hot iron, with heat, with fire. So they burn that spot. This is called kay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they're the ones that do not seek the kay from other people. This type of ilaj, this type of treatment with fire. They do not seek the kay. This is the first. وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ. And they do not seek also a ruqya. They do not ask for the ruqya from somebody else. وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. And they also do not make tatayyur. التطير من الطيرة. الطيرة, in the time of the Arab, that they would, it's like an evil omen. It's an evil omen. It's to have an evil omen that would cause a person to stop doing something. Or to do something. Yani, one or the other, prohibit him from doing what he wanted to do, or he would also do something based upon this. It's type of a superstition. But what they would do, for example, if they seen birds go to the right, if they want to do something, if he came out of his house, I mean, this is how it originated from the word tara, meaning to fly, and the bird is called ta'ir. فَهُمْ يَتَطَيَّرُونَ بِالطُّيُورِ. If he came out of his house, he wanted to travel, for example, and he came out and he sees birds flying to the right, he said, oh, this is a good sign, he's going to travel. If he came out and he saw birds flying to the left, oh no, 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 he's not traveling today. He thinks that it's going to be some evil. So he would relate any of the actions of these animals like this to, and he would have an evil omen by way of them. If they went to the right, he would say, okay, it's good, my travel is good. And he would travel. If he went to the left, the same way like this, he would say, no, no. And he would be afraid. He would be afraid like this. So they had the superstitions that were related with birds. Also, they had it with the gazelle, with the animals, if they went this way. Or sometimes if they wanted to know what should they do, they would scare the birds. And whichever way they go, then this is what he would make a decision on. And he's having evil omen. But the ulama, they mention it's even more general than just birds, but whether it's finding evil omen with something that you see or something that you hear. Now, so it's tasha'um bil mar'i. أو بالمسموع, that one تشاؤم is having like an evil omen, that he would have evil, he would hear something and he would take that as a sign that he shouldn't do something that he was going to do before, and it would stop him from doing what he wanted to do. Like this is called تطير. So they don't do this. This one is haram. It's a type of shirk. الطيرة شرك. الطيرة شرك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned shirk. As for the K is permissible. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen his companions and he take the kay. For example, Anas radiallahu anhu, and other than them, he approved it. Even though he permitted it, he in some narration he mentioned that it's impermissible, but impermissibility is meaning it's disliked. It's disliked because it occurred and it happened, and the companions, they would use decay in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he does not like it. Even the Prophet, he mentioned that from the cures is decay, but he does not like to use decay sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here the issue is, decay is permissible. It's disliked in the origin unless it's needed. Unless it's something that is a necessity at that time, it would not be disliked. Like somebody who lost a ligament, or somebody who's bleeding profusely, and the only way to stop that blood is by putting heat on it. At that time, it would be obligatory for him to use decay if he's going to lose all of his blood. But to use it for other uses and for other diseases is disliked. It's disliked, except for in extreme necessity. But in any case, the point here is it's permissible. It's permissible. Decay is permissible. If somebody did it, la haraj alayhi. He's not doing something haram. Naam? But these people who are described from being those 70,000 that enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment, they don't ask for the K. They don't ask for the K. It doesn't say they don't use the K, it says they don't ask for the K. Likewise, the ruqya in itself, the ruqya is permissible. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged the ruqya. Rather, he did the ruqya himself. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every night before he go to bed, he would make ruqya on himself. And whenever he was sick and he was not able to perform that by himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha, she did that for him before he slept, radiyallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed many of his companions to make the ruqya, and he approved of his companions who made the ruqya. Those companions who used the Fatiha to cure that person that was stung by a scorpion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved him of that. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَةٌ, and the Fatiha. How did you know that the Fatiha was a cure? And the Prophet ﷺ, one of his companions came to him, claimed that ever since he accepted Islam, that he found pain. He found pain. The Prophet ﷺ told him to put his right hand on the spot where it hurt and to say Bismillah three times. And then to say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا أَجِدُ حَاذِرٌ seven times. And directed him to this ruqya. To this ruqya. And it has been narrated from the Haditha Anas radiallahu anhu that Jibreel, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he made ruqya on the Prophet ﷺ. So the ruqya is something that's permissible. And if in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that مَنْ سَطَّعَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَنْفَعَهُ, that whoever is able to benefit his brother, meaning by ruqya, to benefit him. So here the issue is not by using the ruqya. The ruqya in itself is permissible, and it's something that is encouraged and good whenever it's needed. But here the issue, it says, وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ, they do not seek the ruqya. They do not seek the ruqya. Meaning they do not ask others to give them ruqya. وَلَا يَتَطَيِّرُونَ, and they do not have these evil omens from hearing things or from seeing things and the likes like this, taking them as evil omens that they should not proceed upon their way or advance upon that which they desire. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, but rather what do they do? This is what gathers all of the previous things. They don't seek out decay from others. They don't seek out a ruqya from others. And they definitely don't have evil omens with things in the creation that they see or that they hear. But rather they put all of their trust and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So this is from those great attributes of those people. Those people, the author, he in this chapter is directing the reader to look into the sifat of the people. He's mentioning here that those who fulfill the rites of Tawheed, they went into paradise without any reckoning. We've seen from those sifat, the ones who have those sifat, the Anbiya, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he mentioned those sifat that are directly related to him, and that we should take him as an example. If he wanted to be from those who fulfilled the rites of Tawheed, then follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, and follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he mentioned the other verses for those righteous people after that. وَالَذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ, and they had the context that we had read about, mentioning all of these, that they have from fear, مِنْ خَشِتِ رَبِّهِمْ هُمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, that they have fear and they have knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they're afraid of Him, and they obey Him and they comply to His commandments, and when they do their good deeds, hoping that it's accepted. All of these are from the attributes and from the characteristics of those who fulfilled the rites of Tawheed. Here again, the author is mentioning here, and from those characteristics specifically, even it's mentioned the سَبْعُونَ أَلْفٍ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ, that those who enter the paradise without any punishment or any reckoning. And here it's mentioned directly that these people, those who enter the paradise in this manner, those who fulfilled the rites of Tawheed, this is their trait. One of those great attributes is that they have strong reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal. They have a strong reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that they don't ask for anyone else to cure them. They ask for Allah Azza wa Jal to cure them. This is the case. They don't ask for the kay from others. They don't seek it out from others. They don't ask for the ruqya from others. Because a lot of times you will find that the one who seeks a ruqya from somebody else, his heart is attached to that person. His heart is attached to that person. His heart will have some type of attachment to that person. Whether if it's sometimes maybe even be a haram attachment, thinking that he's special because of that. That he's special and the cure is from him. Like this is not permissible. Or even, for example, thinking that because of his piety, and he's better and he's so good, this is why. Meaning because of his righteousness. But in any case, the heart becomes attached to that person. This is something that's normal. So in order to avoid that, and keep the heart attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, they do not seek the ruqya from anybody else. Likewise, the Arabs, they used to believe that the kay was beneficial no matter what. They had a belief that if somebody used the kay, that it would be beneficial no matter what. Meaning it's beneficial in itself. So these people, from their description, is that their heart is not attached to the creation. Their heart is not attached to the people. But rather, their heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Also, from the benefits of this narration and from their descriptions, that they do not belittle themselves in front of the people. They do not lower themselves and go to the people and beg them and asking. So here they don't ask. They don't ask for something like this. So a believer, he will not ask the people for anything. He will not ask the people for anything except for if he's in a need. If he's in a dire need, at that time he can ask his brother and those believers that are his allies and companions. And there's no blame in that whenever he's in dire need. But a believer, he will strive to stay far away from that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded his companions to not ask anything, to not ask the people anything. Even he made a bay'ah with them, some of them, for this, that they would not ask the people anything. And that rather they would rely on their self, to the extent that if they were walking and they're riding on an animal and they had someone walking beside them, if something fell from them, they would get down and pick it up themselves. And they would seek the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they would take care of their own needs. And this is the way of a believer. They don't ask the people. But at the same time, if a believer, he found a need, so that it's clear, if he found himself in need at this time, it's permissible to ask. It's permissible to ask, but it's better to ask Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's better to take his needs into his own hands, seeking the aid from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then striving to meet his own needs and the needs of his family. But if he's ever in a desperate situation, then seeking the help of his brothers is permissible. But from the traits of these people, they do not ask other people. They do not lower themselves and beg the people. And they do not ask the people here even for something that is beneficial for them, like a ruqya. They don't do that because their heart may be attached to others. So this is from the signs of them. As for the tatayur, this one's not permissible at all. Not for the people who enter without any punishment or anybody else. And so this one is not permissible for all of them, for all of the people, tatayur. As for the iktiwa or istirqa, this one is permissible, but from those attributes of those people that have strong tawheed and they have fulfilled the rights of tawheed and have the reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla entirely, they do not ask for these things. Rather, what is their trait? وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ The ulama, they mention here the issue of, is this included? They don't seek ruqya and they don't seek kay. These are both types of ilaj or types of treatment. But we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ibadallah tadawu, wa la tadawu bil haram." To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the people to take medicine, to take medication, but do not take medication with something that is haram. So many of the ulama, they mentioned that this issue here, those who enter the paradise without any punishment and reckoning, these are the issues here alone, these three things, that they leave off these three things. As for seeking, for example, medication or treatment with other aspects, then that's permissible, because it has come, the permission of that. So that would not prohibit from being from these people, taking medication, for example, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded to take medication, but he forbid to take medication with something that is haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would take medication, and those and his companions, they would take medication. So they made a difference between taking medication and using these two types of cures, and using these two types of cures or treatment. And that is because of the strong reliance of the heart and the attachment of the heart to the one who is giving the ruqya, or the one who is making the kay, or to the kay itself. And because they're seeking it from somebody else, Now, as for going to the doctor to seek a treatment for something else without using these type of medication, then this is permissible. This is permissible, and this is from the way of the Prophet. He had commanded that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tadawu. وَلَا تَدَاوُ بِالْحَرَامِ to use medication, but don't use the medication with something that is haram. So we see the benefit here is that the attributes, likewise, on top of what has been mentioned before, the summarization of those traits of the people who enter paradise without any reckoning, that they have a strong relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. They have a strong connection with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. They have reliance and trust in Him. And that they put their affairs in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they trust in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But along with that, they take the means. Along with that, they take the means. They're people who make the effort. And they take the means to take care of themselves. They take the means that lead to paradise. They take the means that lead them away from the hellfire. They take the means for their sustenance and their security and their safety and for their provision. Likewise, in this life and in the hereafter, this is the case. They take the means, but all the way they put their reliance and trust on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. They put their reliance and their trust on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. At this time, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is mentioned from the narrator, فَقَامَ عُكَاشَ Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, فَقَامَ عُكَاشَ ibn Muhsan radiallahu anhu, and he said, supplicate for me to be from amongst them. Ukasha, one of the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mentioned he died in the year 11, that he fought in all of the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and mentioned particularly in the Battle of Badr that he was very brave. He was very brave. That he caused much damage to the enemy in the Battle of Badr. And in other battles along with that, and that he even fought with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in Hurub al-Riddah, whenever many of the Arabs, they turned back and left Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went with Khalid ibn Walid, and he went with those commanders and those Muslims out to their tribes, and he fought them, and this is where he died, and he was martyred radiallahu anhu. He was martyred by a man, his name is Tariha al-Asadi, this man who killed him. He killed the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He later accepted Islam, and Islam became good. Taliha al-Asadi ibn Khuwaydid. Naam. So this is the case with Ukasha. He stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Udu Allah an yaja'alani minhum. O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me from them, and from those who enter paradise, from those who do not ask for the kay and do not ask for the ruqya, and do not make the tayyur, and they put their reliance and trust in Allah entirely, and enter paradise without any reckoning. Make supplication for me to be from them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Anta minhum. You're from them. You're from them. Allahu Akbar. This is from the sign of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's from them, meaning that he will be from those who live and die upon Islam. We've seen that this is the case, that he died as a shaheed. He died as a shaheed, Ukasha ibn Mihsan, radiallahu anhu. So then another man, he stood up and he said, O Messenger of Allah, make supplication that I will be from them also. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. Ukasha, he has preceded you from this. He has preceded you in this. And this is from the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he wanted to close the door, and all the people, and everybody going to stand up now and say, make dua that I'm from them, make dua that I'm from them, make dua that I'm from them. Maybe somebody who is a hypocrite will say that. Maybe somebody who doesn't deserve, he's not really from them, he might stand up and say that, and make dua that I'm from them, and all of them ask. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't say, no, you're not from them. He didn't say it like this, in this manner, and he didn't. He didn't say, no, you're from them, like this. Rather, he said to these people, he said to close the door so that this opportunity to ask for this supplication is finished without harming the feelings of anyone or without being rude and the likes. In a good manner, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ukasha, he has preceded you in this. Ukasha, he has preceded you in this. So now we see that this has come like a parable for those who have been preceded in something. Sabaqa kabiha Ukasha. سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَاشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So from the benefits of this narration, we see that the Salaf, they were far away from Riya. And also this is from the examples. If you want to follow the example of somebody who fulfilled the rites of Tawheed, follow the example of Hussein ibn Abdul Rahman right here. That he was very diligent, that somebody would not think that he's doing some good deed and he's really not. Rather, he freed himself from that. Because if someone thought about him, or praised him for something that he didn't do, and he allowed that, then this is like showing off. He didn't even do it, and they're praising him for this. This is a type of riya, a type of showing off. So to be free from riya, he freed himself from that. And he don't think that I'm doing something good, rather I was only awake because I was stung. So here we have another example, even in this narration, of those characteristics and traits, that there are people who do not like to be praised for something they did not do. Even if they did do it, they do not like to be praised for that. Even though some of the companions, it was hard for them, whenever they found out that they would do good deeds, and then they would get praised. They would do good deeds, and then the people would praise them. They asked the Prophet ﷺ about that. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, he said, هذا عجل بشر المؤمن, that this is the glad tidings that is advanced for a believer. And you don't worry about that. It's not going to ruin your deeds, inshaAllah. That rather this is the glad tiding that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has put the love of the people and praise you in this life, even before the hereafter. But the issue is that the believers, those who enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment, those who fulfill the rights of Tawheed, they don't like to be praised. They don't like to be praised for the deeds of the hereafter. Rather, they seek the praise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they are praised, in the end, they know that this is from the virtue and the grace of Allah upon them. But they don't like to be praised because this is a means to be led astray. When a person can become amazed with himself and amazed with his deeds, and then this can be a means for them to be led astray. Likewise, we see the benefit of the one who applies his knowledge, the one who learns first and foremost, and then he applies his knowledge. This is the one who is considered a muhsin, and this is the one who is good. This is the one who is good. As for those who do not apply their knowledge, they have knowledge but they don't apply it, then this one, he is blameworthy. Likewise, those who apply and they work actions and they do deeds and they worship Allah Azza wa Jal, even if he did something in the dunya that's not even act of worship, but he did it based upon no knowledge, then he's blameworthy. He's blameworthy. He's not praiseworthy. He's not praiseworthy. It has come likewise in some of these narrations with regards to the 70,000 that enter paradise without any reckoning. It has been mentioned in one narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he yani istazad rabbahu fazaduhu ma kulli alfin sab'una alf. That with the 70,000 who enter paradise, in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in at Tirmidhi, that he asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase. And 70,000, he seen that great multitude of people, and then he was informed that 70, that this is your ummah, all of this great, great multitude on the whole horizon. From them 70,000 will enter paradise without any reckoning, without any punishment. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase them more than 70,000. To increase them more than 70,000. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He responded to a supplication and increased them for every thousand, 70,000. So 70,000 along, and then He asked for an increase. So every thousand, 70,000. He's mentioned 70,000 already gonna go, inshallah, without any punishment, without any punishment, without any reckoning. Then the Prophet, he asked for an increase. So from every thousand of those 70,000, 70,000 more. I'm done. From every thousand of the 70,000 that's already there, each thousand, 70,000 more. How many is that? A lot. 5 million or more. Naam, a lot. Alhamdulillah. This is from the virtue of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another narration, this narration is in the Imam Musnad Ibn Ahmad. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned these narrations. The ulama, they mentioned these narrations. Ma'a kulli wahidin sab'un alf. Yadukhuluna jannati bi'aydi hisabun a'adhan. One narration at Tirmidhi, every thousand, 70,000 more. Here, every single one, along with everyone, he increased, subhanahu wa ta'ala, 70,000 more. 70,000. So 70,000, and along with every 70,000, 70,000 more. Each one. So that means that the opportunity is great for a believer to strive in this life. That he would hope that he would be from those 70,000. That he would hope to be from the muqarrabin. Or that he would hope to be from the abrar. That he would seek refuge from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That he would be from the zalimin, alladhina yadhlimuna anfusahum. Naam, we can summarize the chapter. Naam, that those who enter the paradise without any reckoning, without any judgment, there are two categories. What are they? Huh? Two categories. This, with regards to entering paradise, the Ummah of Muhammad, there's the people who enter paradise, there are three groups. Huh? There are three groups. All three of them enter paradise, but they don't enter the paradise the same. As-sabiqun. Bil-khayrat. and the Muqtasid, the Muqtasidun. These two, they enter paradise. How do they enter? المقتصد السابقون بالخيرات والمقتصد نعم ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابقون بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير نعم these two they enter paradise without any reckoning without any without any punishment what are their traits what are their traits huh
they
fulfill the obligations
And they stay away from
Allah. And they leave off the prohibitions. That's it. This is the thing. Both of them, this is what they have. They fulfill the obligations and they stay away from the prohibitions. They fulfill the obligations and they stay away from the prohibitions. As for the sabiqun bil khairat, they have that also, that asl, and they increased upon that by?
They do the mustahabat.
The other actions that are preferred. They're not obligatory. It's not obligatory to give his money. He gives it anyways. It's not obligatory to leave his food and drink on Monday or Thursday. He does it anyways. It's not obligatory for him to fast Yom Arafah. He does it anyways. Seeking nearness to Allah, he does more after performing the obligation. These are the ones that are considered sabiquna bil khayrat, that they are hastening to do the good deeds. Naam, ulaika yusari'una fil khayrati wa hum laha sabiqun. So the attribute of those people who fulfill the rights of Tawheed in general. They fulfill the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the best of their ability. And they stay away from the prohibitions entirely. And then those who have a higher rank, after that they compete to do even more good deeds with their wealth and with their body and with their life. Yani, that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even in manners that's not obligatory. Again, there was another attribute or description or way that we have mentioned that's very beneficial, the one who fulfilled the rights of Tawheed. And we mentioned that this is generally their attribute, commandments, prohibitions. Fulfilling the commandments, stay away from the prohibitions. But there's another description, those who fulfilled the rights of Tawheed. What does that mean? تحقيق التوحيد. That's the name of the chapter. Babu, من حقق التوحيد. دخل الجنة بغير حساب. What does it mean, تحقيق التوحيد? أيوة تخليصه و وتصفيته من شوائب الشرك والبدع والمعاصي. This right here is very very important. تخليصه to free the توحيد. تحقيق التوحيد to free the توحيد. That have the توحيد free, far away from, free from it, not attached to any of this whatsoever. نعم وتصفيته and that is purified and cleansed. تصفيته to cleanse it and purify it entirely pure. نقي صافي so تخليصه وتصفيته من الشوائب from the defects من الشوائب الشرك or from the foul traits or from those things that taint the توحيد or spoil the توحيد or mix up the توحيد with impurity the things that impurify توحيد what has to be free from that And purify from that. يعني من شوائب الشرك والبدع والمعاصي. That it has to be free and purified from shirk, both types. Showing off and major shirk. Showing off and major shirk. And it has to be free from innovation. Innovation. So a person, he brings the tawheed, meaning he brings ikhlas. Maybe he purified his tawheed. And he didn't worship anybody except Allah Azza wa Jal alone. As far as the inside, his heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. But he did not, and he's not making shirk. He's not showing off. Right? But he did not follow the sunnah. He did not fulfill the rights of tawheed. And he will not be from those who enter the paradise first and foremost, unless Allah Azza wa Jalla pardon him. Naam, because the innovations, they lessen the tawheed. They weaken the iman. Naam, and then he will be doing his deeds and they will have no value. They will not be accepted. So if Allah Azza wa Jalla, this person, he will be under the wheel of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, the innovations are major sins. Are major sins. So before the Tawheed can be actualized, and before the rights of Tawheed can be fulfilled, he has to free it and cure and purify it and cleanse it from shirk, both types. Both types. And likewise from innovation. And likewise from innovation, and then likewise from sins. Then likewise from sins. And how does he purify it from major shirk and from minor shirk? Bil ikhlas. How is ikhlas?
إيه.
مجاهدة النفس. How is إخلاص؟ أحسنت. إخلاص يعني how does he purify his tawheed from shirk entirely, that he has an intention that he will all of his deeds he will do it only for Allah, and all a general intention. Every believer, he has this intention: if I pray, I'm only going to pray for Allah. He'll tell himself this. If he gives charity, he's only going to do for all my worship, la ilaha illallah. Like this, every believer, he has this intention. He only worship Allah Azza wa Jal. All inclusive, general intention that his worship and his acts of piety and righteousness are for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. No one else. But at the time of performing a specific act of worship, at that time it requires effort. It requires at that time to strive to purify that intention. Now to make sure that, because at the time he has this general intention, but for example, whenever he comes to read the Quran, Shaitan may come to him and say, oh, beautify, so-and-so is listening, raise your voice. So-and-so is listening, read a bigger chapter. So-and-so is listening, like this. So at this time, at the actual moment of performing the deed, this requires mujahada more. So he has the general intention, yes, ikhlas, nah, for the sake of Allah alone. But then at the time of performing the deed, salat, charity, whatever the case, he tries to perform it at that time to perfect the intention. To perfect the intention, because shaitan can come in from one side and cause him to show off or hope to for some reward from the dunya or some praise from the people to be gained from that action. On another side, shaitan can come in to the action likewise. At that time, he had the general intention, but then whenever he's performing, shaitan can come in and direct him and distract him, and he could perform the deed heedlessly. And remember Allah only a few. Maybe he give charity, $100, he didn't even think about Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe he prayed the night prayer, he didn't even think about Allah Azza wa Jal, or he did a little bit. This is from the Sifat al-Munafiqin, that whenever they worship Allah Azza wa Jal, لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. So then the one who worship Allah Azza wa Jal, خلاص, or حقق توحيدا, that at the time of performing the worship, he will strive to purify the intention. He will strive to purify the intention, to make it sincerely and only for Allah Azza wa Jal. How's that? How can at the time of salat, for example, what steps can I take?
To have your mind, your body, and your soul, everything focused in your prayer.
Focus on what? That's right. But we want to make it as clear as possible. Focus on what?
Focus on
ikhlas.
Ikhlas.
Tadhkur. Two things. Maybe three. Aywa. These three things here, they're called the arkan ta'abud al-qalbiyya. Arkan ta'abud al-qalbiyya, the pillars of the worship of the heart. For the worship to be truly correct, then the heart has to be involved. The heart worship, the hands worship Allah, the eyes worship Allah, even salat, the whole body is worship, even the finger has worship. The hands, when they're on the knees, the fingers are spread. When they're in the sujood, they're like, all of this is a worship following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody part is worshiping Allah azza wa jalla, but the heart likewise has to be worshiping Allah azza wa jalla. So the one who is need to fulfill that ikhlas, what does he do? He yu'adhim ar-raja fi qalbihi. He brings the hope, makes the hope, thinking of the promise of Allah azza wa jalla, thinking of the reward of Allah azza wa jalla, thinking of the paradise of Allah azza wa jalla, thinking of seeing the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one that I'm worshipping him, I can't see him now. Thinking that if he accepts this from me, I will see him. That I will be from those that he speaks to, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَرَضِيتُمْ. He will hope to be from that. So at the time of worship, he is hoping in his heart. He's hoping. So this is, and if he is the one who's hoping for Allah, he's not hoping for the people. He's not hoping for him to see or for him to praise or for him or for her like this. He's hoping for Allah. And also at this time, he's not heedless either, because his heart now, he's so in order to fulfill that and to do the best to perfect that worship with ikhlas, is to have the hope at the time of worship high in the heart. High in the heart. Whenever you want to give a dollar for the sake of Allah, $10, $100, $1,000, but whenever he's giving it, he's hoping that Allah would accept it. Not the person. He's giving it to him, but he doesn't want nothing from the person. No praise, no gain, nothing. Not for the people. Rather, he hopes that Allah accepts that. Thinking of the hadith that Allah accepts the sadaqah. And then he caused it to grow in his right hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the point is that he will have a strong hope in his heart at the time of the worship. At this time, he will be able to fulfill that ikhlas. And likewise, fear. Fear. Having fear that it will not be accepted. These two things at the time of the worship, during salat, during charity, during recitation of the Quran, during any act of worship, having strong hope at that time, leaving the dunya. At this time, when you're working for the dunya, that's fine, alhamdulillah. But at the time of worship, there must be the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي لِذِكْرِي يعني بِالرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Now, how do I have raja and khawf? I have love for Allah Azza wa Jal. These are the three pillars, al-muhabbatu, wal-raja'u, wal-khawf. So whenever a person, he remembers the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, the kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala yatawaddadu ilayna bi isbagh al-ni'am wa ta'mimiha alayna yawmiyan. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is drawing near to us and being kind to us and showing us His kindness and His love, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, for His creation, giving us blessings day and night, even to breathe. Alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, requires thanks. So then, one, he loved Allah Azza wa Jalla for these blessings. And then he worshiped Him with hope, hoping that He will reward him, hoping that he will see Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and he will accept these deeds. That he will accept these deeds, this gathering right here. A gathering that we hope that Allah will accept it from us. That it doesn't go away in vain. And that it doesn't go away and become a means for our destruction, rather a means for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Gatherings of knowledge and the likes like this, reading the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even ikhlas, the way to have ikhlas, then we're talking about tahqiq al-tawheed, right? The first, yani, takhlisuhu wa tasfiyatuhu min shawa'ib al-shirk. Yukunu bil ikhlas. Wal ikhlas yukunu bil niyya shamila. Naam, thumma, indama, yuridu an yusalliya, yuhaqqiq al-ikhlas. Yani, bi i'azam al-raja fi qalbihi. And يُعْظِمُ الرَّجَاءُ وَالْخَوْفِ فِي قَلْبِهِ, that he would magnify at the time of worship the hope in his heart and the fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. And at this time he'll worship Allah like this, and بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ he would have ikhlas. His heart is now attached to Allah, not to the people. His heart is now attached to Allah by hoping in Him and His reward and His promise and His Jannah. Naam? Like this. So he will be safe from shirk بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ta'ala. طيب بِدْعَ. He has to أيضاً تخليصه وتصفيته من البدع by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can I follow the Prophet if I don't know who he is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can I follow his Sunnah if I don't know what his Sunnah is? You have to learn. You have to learn. نعم, you have to learn. نعم. طيب وتخليصه وتصفيته من المعاصي, from sins. How is that? كبير من كبيرها وصغيرها, all of them. نعم كبيرها والإصرارها الصغيرها. No one is free from sins, but any, the one he does, the one who has fulfilled the rites of tawheed, he does not persist upon sins. He is a person who repents often. So he stays away from major sins and minor sins. And if he falls into something from those sins, then he repents immediately and he returns to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَهَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.